and welcome to the Best Practice Network Apprenticeship Podcast, your space for real conversation that supports professionals working in early years, schools, apprenticeships. I'm your host, Emma Minchella, the Deputy Curriculum Manager for Apprenticeships here at Best Practice Network. And today we're going to be talking about the Magic of Childminding 2026 report, which is a celebration of the incredible role that childminders play in the lives of children, families and communities across the country. The report itself is packed with powerful stories and some really interesting insights into what makes childminding such a unique and valuable form of childcare. So I'm really pleased to be joined today by Kaylai from Comrade Pacey to talk through parts of this report and these themes today. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really pleased to be here. So I'm Carly Bradley-Hodges. I'm head of Comrade Pacey. We're a professional association supporting home-based childcare professionals, including childminders, childminding assistants, nannies and wraparound providers. We're a community of 12,500 home-based childcare professionals. We do everything from supporting with training, advice, policy, and we really are trying to be advocates for the whole of the home-based childcare sector, really. And I'm really glad to be here today to talk about our Magic of Childminding report, which we're very proud of.
Oh, it's such a wonderful read and really beautifully insightful. So let's start us off. So for listeners who may not maybe know much about childminding, what makes it such a unique form of childcare?
I think all providers in the sector do an amazing job, and they all offer something different, something that kind of is needed from different families. I think the magical thing about childminding is, they're home-based. So that familiar setting is just so suited to so many children, children who struggle in large environments, children who want that familiarity, and that round-the-corner childcare. They're also small numbers. They have smaller ratios, and that can be a really positive thing for some children. Childminders have time to focus on individuals. And like I say, it's not that overwhelming large environment. And I love that childminders are known or should be known for their regular days out. We take it for granted in childminding, but I think that is so special that they just have the freedom to get up and go out every day if they want to. They have the freedom to go out on rainy days every day, which is so unique and interesting. I think that's something special for children. And then they've got those kind of quirky little nuances as well, like childminders, so many of them have pets, and I think that's just such a special and unique thing to bring to kind of a child's life. If they don't have pets at home, then they go to a childminder and they get used to pets. We have childminders with cats and dogs, we have childminders with pigs and horses and alpacas, so that's really unique and special. And I think something that's unique about childminding for families is that flexibility. They are there early doors, they close late, they offer ad hoc care, they offer that flexibility for families who really need it. And I think we all need that flexibility at the moment. And also something unique about childminders that we don't normally consider is that they have that ability to respect and accommodate different parenting styles. I think that's so important to parents at the moment to, respect and accommodate, but also use their experience and knowledge to support that. I think it's something that we don't think about enough when we're choosing childcare. And I think that's something that's always at the back of a parent's mind. So that is something that I hope comes across in this report as well, as something really unique about childminding.
I love that. And you've touched so many wonderful points there about the importance of the role that childminders have in a child and a family's life. So the report talks a lot about the magic of childminding. What does that phase mean to you personally?
I think to me, flexibility and freedom. I think the fact that childminders, like I said, can get up and set their own curriculum, go out when they want to with children, and they have the freedom to do what they want with the child. It can be child-led, it can be childminder-led. That freedom just to get up and go out, that freedom to decide to change their plans and bake cakes if they want to, or go out if they want to, or and the child-led play, I think that's so magical to have that, and we don't appreciate that enough. That no restrictions on that. And I also think time is a magical part of childminding. Like I said, the smaller ratios allow childminders to give each child more time. But that is important for children when you think about focusing on them, prioritising them, consistent care. You know, with SEND children, they want that time given to them to help them support and develop. And that continuity of care is so important that you get with that time. And another lovely thing I think about childminding is that mixture, that really good mixture of nurturing care versus high quality education. So often now it's all about education, 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 which I get is completely important, but sometimes we lose that nurturing care. And I think childminders are just known for that. You know, they're adored by their families, they're adored by the children that they look after. And they manage to find that good combination that supports both social development and kind of their learning. I think it's really important.
I think it's such a key. And Kayla, I shared with you earlier that my mum was a single mum, put me into a nursery and then put me, and it didn't work. I just didn't settle. She really tried. And I had a childminder, Diane. And I remember sitting in Diane's car and not wanting to get out in the rain, and the window wipers were going. Mm-hmm. And so she let me climb into the front seat once we'd parked up. And I remember sitting there, and it's such a core memory, and just watching the rainfall and the window wipers going. And she didn't rush me out of the car. She let me sit there. She let me kind of, I didn't want to get out of the car. And we were watching the window wipers squeaking along and the rain. And it's just something that I always remember from being at a childminder, that it was such a slower pace, which was what as a child that I needed, and I needed that an attachment because I had just my mum at home. So to have that person that I trusted, and you know, I hate to say it, I'm 38 this year, but she's still in my life and buys my children little gifts, which is just they become such a part of your life, don't they? And that hit me with that statistic that jumped out that says that 77% of childminders have been in the profession for 11 years or more. Why do you think so many people stay in childminding for that long period of time?
I mean, it is actually a really good statistic. I don't think there's many sectors anymore where you stay in a role for 11 years. I think there's very few early years roles where you were staying there for 11 years. And that's, you know, no offense, other provider types or other roles. I think there's so much pressure in the early years and there's so many challenges. I think, you know, we have 25,000 childminders left in England. And those 25,000 are the most loyal, dedicated childminders that are there despite all of the pressures. So you have to think there's something amazing them keeping them in that role. And I think childminding is a mixture. We've got dedicated childminders, really experienced childminders, passionate. You know, I would have to say childminders are some of the most passionate people in early years. And I think they love that idea of that continuity of care. So many childminders talk to love caring for children when they're babies all the way up until school years when they do wraparound. So many childminders I know have cared for different generations of the family, and I think that's amazing. So there's something about they get so involved in that child and family's life. They're so dedicated about what they do. They love running their own business, you know, and I know that can be hard at times, but I think that, you know, they stick with it because they know that they love what they do. And also I think sometimes we do think that childminding can be a lonely profession, but I also think there are childminders and many who have built networks. And I think that's really important to keeping childminders in that role for so long. And that's some of the work that we want to do, is to ensure that those networks are there, whether that's organic networks created by childminders themselves or something that we can do to bring back that network of childminders in each community. But that really is why they're here, you know, their dedication and their passion for childminding.
I think that's so lovely. And there is a real lovely, strong thread in the report as well around confidence and emotional security. And I think that some of that really links into how childminding helped to keep children feeling safe, feeling settled, feeling known, which is very important.
The continuity of care, I think, is very, very important as well. You know, they are the key worker. That doesn't change. They don't move from a baby room to a toddler room to a preschool room. You know, that childminder is a constant in their life. And that, for anyone, provides that kind of security, you know, going forward. So definitely really important.
I think it really does. It's so valuable in the earliest of years for those lovely connections. And when we think about attachment, it's a wonderful opportunity for that child to have that one trusted adult that works with them. In the report, parents talk about that trust, that assurance, that flexibility. And it's really interesting how childminders do support whole families, not just the children. How does that wider support show up in practice?
So I think, yeah, when we think about childminders, we just think about the childminder caring for the child. And in this report, we uncovered, and we knew it already, but just by speaking to childminders and parents and families, so many different ways in which childminders support families. I think, first of all, it's just important to think about transitions. You know, parents, especially first-time parents, they're thinking about kind of handing their child over. And, you know, every early years provider should be doing transitions, absolutely. I think the value of childminders is they have that time, as we've said again, to do transitions really, really well. I think in that report, we were looking at an example of a childminder who does 6 long settling sessions for babies. And there are childminders who do school transitions really, really well. So that kind of first transition is really important. And I think then there are other examples of childminder support, adoptive families, fostering families. There's lovely examples of childminder supporting single parent households and migrant families. And I think, you know, we can say support, but what does that mean? And I think that's just that flexibility to provide that extra little bit of care if they need that, or that extra bit of emotional support or guidance. That's important. And I think it's just so valuable that they have the time to do that, and they have the time to think, actually, I think my family's going through something right now. I can take some of that on. You know, a family that's going through bereavement, a childminder is so attuned to that. And they know the child, and they know actually what they need, the child needs from them in that time, and what the family need from them at that time as well. So yeah, uncovering all of these little kind of, not little case studies, but these case studies of such specific nuanced areas, I think is something that's the magic of childminding. You don't realize what they're doing until you use a childminder yourself.
There's absolutely some really incredibly moving examples in your report that I came across, and it was beautiful to read, and to know that families do have that support out there, and particularly through that, you know, it's not telling a story to multiple people, it's that story to that one person, it's that one person that really understands that child and family well, and I think it just goes to show that the professionals that are those childminders and the relationships that they build with those families and children are so strong. So yeah, definitely recommend on reading in on that, on the report, because it is a really beautiful and quite humbling read. Another really interesting finding in your report is that 29% of childminders support children with diagnosed SEND or ALN, and 33% support children awaiting assessment. What does that tell us about the role childminders are playing in that inclusive childcare?
Yeah, this is an area I'm really passionate about. Obviously, it's very topical with the SEND reforms at the moment. But I think we, you know, when we think about the SEND reforms, firstly, it's prioritising schools, and I understand that. Then early years, there's lots to be considered still. I think childminders, again, within early years, are hugely undervalued and underutilised. But they already do incredible SEND and ALN support without the support that probably other providers get. So, you know, 29% of childminders care for children with SEND and ALN diagnosed. And I think that is huge statistic there, considering how many childminders we have. And then the 33% kind of waiting to be diagnosed. So their role within SEND and ALN is so important. And I think, if they, you know, they do it really, really well already, and there are so many childminders who want to or could do that as well, they could, you know, start SEND provision. They just need the support from local authorities and government. You know, that might be monetary support, because obviously equipment could be really expensive. That might be funding support to allow them to do training during working hours rather than at 7:30, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. But that package of support for child minors is really important. I agree it's slightly nuanced with compared to kind of group providers. There's something specific to child minors, how we can support them. It's just a shame that something like the Early Years Inclusion Fund is looking to exclude childminders just based on numbers. And I think what we really need to ask ourselves is, you know, the Early Years Inclusion Fund is going by the number of children in a setting. I don't think we really think about the number of children with SEND in a setting in England. If we did, I think there could be some more childminders that were part of that fund. And I don't really think that we think about the number of children with severe needs within the setting. Again, if we did, I think you'll find there are many more childminders than some other provider types offering support for children with severe needs. And again, that's something, an area that we want to work on. But I also have to say that childminders do it incredibly well already. And we just need to uncover that a bit more and work out how we support them better.
Absolutely. Because I think this is probably an important moment to talk about training and development. And, you know, here at Best Practice, we have programs like the Early Years Send program, and it'd be really valuable for childminders to have that specialist training and support as well. Is there any direction at the moment that childminders can go down to get support for this?
Support for SEND training specifically. Yes, there are avenues. Obviously, there's CENIF funding that they can utilise. Again, not taken up by childminders as much as other providers. There is SEND training out there. We have a training courses, including our membership. They can be part of the Level 3 SENCO training as well. So there is training out there. There's some free training out there, and I know that there is kind of free training coming from the government soon on that. I think what we also need to consider is just time for childminders to do that. You know, we say that childminders give children all the time that they need. Childminders doing this training, the training that they need to kind of provide that send provision out of hours, you know, they start from 7:30, they finish till at 6, 7 o'clock sometimes. So everything that they need to do has to be done out of hours. That's a really, really long day, especially if you want to prioritize training. You know, training can be lengthy, can't it? So I think it's not just in terms of what resources out there. There are resources out there. It definitely could be better, and we're all working on that. I think it's about how we think about everything around funding to support childminders to do that, to give them time, and how local authorities can do that. You know, childminders, they like to do virtual training online, in person, and it depends on each childminder. So finding that right balance, but having that on offer for them to choose from is important as well.
What do you feel that the stories about professionalism and the relationships childminders build could possibly make somebody who's listening to this think about taking a career up in childminding?
Yeah, I think you can see from the report and the stories, first of all, the passion. I think it's overwhelming, if I could say that. When you read all those case studies and stories, you think, right, okay, that childminder is really, really A, knowledgeable about that child, so invested and passionate about that child, but also about that family. So I always say with, you know, in early years in childminding, first and foremost, those looking to join have to be passionate about children. And that's what we want. That's what all provider types want when they come into the profession. But I think also hope that comes across is that flexibility. You know, if you're starting your own childminding business, you know, you've got the freedom to create your own curriculum. You know, you do follow the EYFS, but you also build that. What does your day look like? What does the child's day look like? That child-led, child-centered approach. So I think, I hope that comes across that, you know, no 2 days are the same, and you just have that flexibility to enjoy your day and your time with those children. So I hope that inspires people to become a childminder. And then I also think that kind of sense of community and the communities that they are a part of and support, the communities they build themselves. You know, if you're a person that kind of really loves your community and you think about, right, how can I serve your community? But, you know, how can I have a career that takes advantage of my love for my community? Then I think what comes across in the report is they just start to build this community around them, you know, whether that's supporting different families or it's taking children out into the community and exploring the community, or if it's even doing things for the community. We have so many childminders that fundraise for the community, that, you know, support community initiatives that I think is really important. So I, you know, I'd very much see someone getting involved in childminding. I wouldn't want them to come in thinking they're alone in childminding. You know, I wouldn't come in thinking that they're just in their setting, they're alone. I think there is a community and network out there that are really excited to be more involved and welcome new childminders, definitely.
That's lovely. And just finally, just to kind of round this off, after reading the report, what do you think is the one thing that others should better understand or appreciate about childminding today?
I think the one thing would be that it's more than meets the eye to childminding. I think parents at the moment think they just have a choice between childminders, group settings, school-based nurseries. That's what they're looking at and that's their choice. It, you know, based on accessibility and based on funding probably. And I think, put that aside, more than meets the eye of childminding is you're choosing something for your child that's quite special and magical. If you're looking at childminder, what you're actually choosing is those unique days out. You're choosing that kind of nurturing care and high quality education. You're choosing something that will stay with your child, like you said before, like stay with that child forever, those memories. I think when you put aside what type you're choosing, you think about what childminders actually offer, you realize that actually it's something that will stay with them for the rest of their life. And really, I think that's, hopefully that's what they take away from this.
Thanks, Kaylai. And if there was a place, where's the best place to find out more about childminding for any of our listeners who are like, oh, that's really inspired me, where would be the best place to go?
They can go to our website, www.corumpacey.org.uk. We have a section on the campaign that parents can go to. We have a whole area on our website about how to become a childminder. I also think there are amazing websites out there, in, you know, DfE and Ofsted have some really good information on their websites about childminding. And I think definitely go to your local authority. The local authority website, if you're a childminder, gives you good support. But also if you're a parent looking for childcare, you can find out about childminding on there as well. So ourselves, DfE, Ofsted, and definitely the local authorities as well. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Kaylai. We really appreciate it. And I'm sure all of our listeners that are listening to this, thank you so much for listening to this episode. You can read the full Magic of Childminding 2026 report for more stories, research and insights into the impact that childminders are making every day. And if you found today's discussion helpful, please consider subscribing, leaving a review or a comment on your favourite podcast platform. It helps us to spread the word and improve the quality of apprenticeships. You can also contact us via podcast@bestpracticenet.co.uk if you have any feedback or suggestions for the show, and we may revisit them in future episodes. So join the conversation, let us know what your thoughts are of today's podcast, and let us know your thoughts. And so that's all for today's episode. We'll be back soon with more conversation to support your journey. Until next time, take care and goodbye.